Well, I was not content with this, with the common explanations about life. And what I understand life is now, it's seeing one moment and thinking about it, hearing one moment and thinking about it, tasting one moment and thinking about it, smelling and thinking, touching and thinking.
In Buddhism, there's meditation. What term it happens in meditation?
I cannot tell much about meditation because I never meditated.
So what do you do which is different from everybody else?
Finding out the reality in daily life. And knowing them by experience.
So what do you mean by reality?
There are physical phenomena and mental phenomena. So seeing is mental, and the object of seeing is rupa, visible object.
You mean a visible object is a television or a car, what we see?
Visible object is that what you can see, or what seeing is seeing. And when you say it's a car, it's already a concept.
So how does one then understand more about these realities?
Oh, one starts to read, to discuss it, and to consider it.
And then?
And then gradually the knowledge is strong enough or gets stronger. And gradually you develop maybe I would say the force to lighten up the darkness of concepts, or let the concept vanish, disappear, and see what really is. You know, that's the beautiful thing, not to be deluded by concepts.
And how do you mean deluded by? How are we deluded by concepts now?
We cling to them. And they are just nothing. And because of clinging, we will perform a lot of akusala, we will perform a lot of wrong deeds.
So it's wrong to have clinging to people, to places, to things. Is that wrong to have clinging in Buddhism?
In Buddhism it's wrong, yes. I would say it's wrong. But you cannot prevent from having clinging, or to cling to something.
But many people find happiness through their attachments, through children, through possessions.
Yes, but it's not the real happiness. So I wanted the real happiness.
And what is the real happiness? How do you define happiness if you're a Buddhist?
Knowing things as they are.
And why is that happy?
Because you don't cling to them.
So it's like freedom then?
Freedom.
There are many different types of Buddhism. I mean, you get Tibetan Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, Mahayana Buddhism, all different types. Are they wrong? Because I know you understand the Theravada.
Yes. I started out with Theravada, and I think it's the right path.
And the others are wrong?
I wouldn't say they're wrong or right. Because probably even in Mahayana or in what is the other one? Well, Tibetan, you know what? If the teaching is right, you probably can treat the middle path.
What will be the very beginning for somebody who is interested in Buddhism? What would they start off? How would they start off?
How would they start off? By reading and by having someone explain it to them as well, to point out what is meant in the right way.
And if there isn't another person to explain to them, can they just do it on their own, do it by themselves?
Maybe, but it would be very difficult.
You have any questions?
Run out of questions. About tuning a lute. If it's too tight, the string, it doesn't come out right. If it's too slack, it doesn't come out right. But if it's rightly done, it comes out right. So if one worries too much, then it's overdone. But if one gets lazy, it's underdone. It's slack.
Yes.
So I better pass on the question to you now. What is exactly backsliding, and when is one backsliding?
When one is not interested anymore in developing right understanding.
I think this happens when people get discouraged. They think it's too difficult, because Sarah and Jonathan heard that a lot when they made the journey in Canada. But they say, oh, it is too difficult.
Even if it difficult to develop sati, you have so many moments where you can start and start again.
Yeah.
Because it's every moment. It doesn't matter if you work or if you don't work, if you are in a hurry.
It's the same.
Oh, yes. You always have the opportunity. And that is great.
You find it too. You said that your working situation or your when you are alone, absolutely the same. Did you not say something?
Yeah, no, I don't distinguish any difference between any situation, because problems. You have problems at work, but I have problems when I'm not working. I mean, problems at work, I have problems when I park my car trying to find somewhere in London to park, but if I'm on my day off, I have similar problems. So if I'm in the forest alone, I have problems.
Yes.
So no matter what there is, you still have to make decisions, but aversion doesn't help, attachment doesn't help. So just by understanding that more will make life easier, because it just doesn't help to have aversion in whatever situation.
And to think about when this or that or this situation would come, then it would be better. Then it would be the right moment probably to come at the right moment.
I think that also that problems, whatever a problem is, it always seems to be a problem because one is running away from it.
One
because there's no awareness at that moment.
To start.
So you're looking for something to solve the problem. You're worrying about the future, perhaps, but the reality is there at that moment. If there's awareness, that's the best way to deal with the worrying behind the problem, if there's awareness of it.
In the deepest sense, is one backsliding already, when one not develops now? Or when I said I will do it later, then I have 1 hour and I can be in a quiet place, or no one will disturb me, then maybe.
I think that the right path is not the planning about when and where I develop right understanding, because there are conditions for awareness to arise, not at anyone's will. It can arise now if there are enough conditions for its arising. So one realizes whether one has enough conditions for this moment of being aware of reality.
But before the Vipassana Jala, it cannot be clear.
We don't have to think about Vipassana Jala, because what about this moment of understanding? If we can understand this moment, as it is with awareness, then it will continue on and on. We'll have no doubt about seeing and which object, no doubt about hearing and sound and other dog ways as well. Then there are conditions for vipassanayana to arise. Not just thinking when or how it's not clear as vipassanayana. It cannot be as clear as vipassanayana because it's just developing. It's on the way.
It's like this that you consider and you study on, and there are so many moments necessary before there can be some little more clearness.
Are you wishing for that stage?
Yes.
Just wishing or developing?
Yeah, wishing and developing.
What about developing without wishing?
It's difficult.
But I think that it will bring about the same result, mm-hmm. because if you don't wish but you develop it.
It's better.
Yeah.
But should I tell myself not to wish? To be aware of the wishing, is that the best?
If you understand that you are wishing, isn't
yeah,
that enough
is
to
no
you no use?
It's
yeah.
a condition.
Yeah. yeah. And you can see that it's not natural, it's trying.
And who tries? Attachment. Yes.
Because when there is vipassanayana, it's not Nina who has attained it. It's just, there's no one there at that very moment. It's only the experiencing of a characteristic of reality as it is. So how can anyone try to have it?
We were talking about those who are enlightened, do they have vipassanayana and other moments? Or is it seldom arising or very often arising? We don't know.
Let it come. Do you always making a wish?
No.
So why,
yeah.
when you think of vipassanayana, that you'd like to attain so fast? So
no, it's useless.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not possible.
But it's useful to know that stage. Because many people think they've attained the arising and falling away of realities when they haven't understood the paracheta, the first vipassanayana.
Yeah.
It's useful
yeah.
to know about those vipassanayanas to give you the right judgment as to what you have or have not attained.
When you know the right path, so you know that it will lead to that stage.
Yes.
Rightly.
Yes.
But when you don't know the right path,
you can
know.
Think,
yeah.
that's right. So for us who know the right path, we don't even need to know about the vipassanayanas.
No.
But those people who have the wrong path do, you can explain to them that they haven't attained the first, if they haven't attained the first vipassanayana, they can't have attained the third or the fourth vipassanayana.
Or if they are not developing right understanding of this moment, it's impossible for them to attain vipassanayana. It depends on the path, the right path.
But if there is awareness, or you think there is awareness, but it's more thinking, but you realize that it is thinking, it's okay. You should not be put off, but just go on.
Right understanding can understand any type of reality
yeah.
at any time with awareness. We don't expect to have right understanding of thinking such and such or wishing such and such.
Yeah.
It may arise or it may not arise depending on conditions at that very moment.
But it would be as natural as seeing and hearing now, would it? Because we don't have to try to see.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing is conditioned now.
Yeah.
We don't have to try. And when vipassanayana, it's so anatta. There's no control, we cannot speculate when it will arise.
Right.
So that can help us with the path when it's not natural.
Yeah.
Because I think, I mean, a lot of people in the work situation, they think that they haven't time to develop it while they're working. But that shows that there's the idea of self who tries, who has to set a, you know, try and remember the Dharma. It's not the detachment from the idea of a self or a situation. Because the Vipassanayana could arise any time. Or right understanding can arise any time. You said there were so many questions to ask about Buddhism. Did you mean that there are a lot of different aspects towards Buddhism, or did you mean it to say that so many questions don't lead one to the right understanding of the path?
Whose questions?
I don't know who you were referring to. But it seems that obviously a lot of our questions, or a lot of anybody's questions, don't lead them to the path that the Buddha taught. People might want to know how life began.
When someone asks a question, does the person really want to understand the answer? Or does he just want to hear the answer, whether or not he will believe it?
For speculation, to speculate about it.
It does mean that when someone answers that question, and the one who questioned it will believe, will think that, oh, that question is right. So why ask about such question? Because one knows whether one will believe it or not. Just asking. It doesn't help the one who asked to have any understanding. If one just asks. What kind of answer would you like to have?
There are so many answers that you could give which wouldn't be useful if you just, as you're saying, if you just answer questions, it doesn't necessarily take that person higher along to what the Buddha meant them to understand. Too much speculation or for academic interest, maybe.
And it cannot be proven to such questions.
Yes, yes.
It's not like seeing now, understanding seeing as it is.
It's so difficult to talk about seeing, since we have to develop it and to talk about visible objects. Just maybe remind one another. Or in the beginning we should explain what it is. Well, we can only say it sees. Is it good if we try to explain to people about seeing a visible object?
If they can understand it.
Yeah. It's difficult to you cannot really define, or we try to explain that it is different from thinking about shape and form, or we try to explain that the paramatta dhamma, when that is the object and when a concept, in that way I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think that's difficult to explain in that way?
It's all right, we can try, but to explain what seeing is, if they ask.
The Nama which sees.
Yeah. Will it be clear?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Would you like to hear some explanation from her about seeing?
It's the reality which experiences.
I don't know any more than you do. Because it's not just a matter of telling someone. That person has to study, as you always say.
So you think that it's difficult to explain to the beginning?
maybe basically one can try and say that it's different from seeing the shape of form.
And what is the usefulness of talking about seeing the sense?
It's very useful, so that people will understand that there are so many different moments and that they don't stay.
And that it's not I.
I
just when
sees.
You say that yeah. Nama sees, then it indicates already it's no I.
Or the seeing sees is helpful.
Yeah.
And the hearing hears. And it depends on the listener's accumulations, what he will get.
But no one must doubt that seeing is real, because otherwise they wouldn't see.
Yeah.
They're seeing
yeah,
now.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
To stress it.
Because the Buddha taught about realities which can be
yeah.
proven.
Yeah.
Not how life began or how life will end, but it's seeing and hearing and thinking and feeling, which arise now.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, it's useful to have the intellectual understanding of seeing invisible object and feeling, and just that intellectual understanding. And that is the condition for the right path.
Yeah.
What do you mean by a right path?
That's a good one.
Awareness of seeing.
In order to understand it as it is?
Mm-hmm. Just as a reality which experiences.
As a permanent moment.
No.
Why not? Isn't seeing not permanent?
No. What do you mean by permanent moment?
Stay for a long time.
No.
No.
No. Impossible.
Yeah, it seems it stays a long time.
Does it stay?
No, it stays a long time.
How can we help the other to understand that seeing cannot stay for a long time?
Because then there is hearing. Everyone can experience it.
Just
there
one
can not be
yeah.
two moments at one
yeah.
moment.
Yeah.
Only one citta with one object. We try to explain that also.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also new to many people who don't know.
But that has to be directly experienced with awareness.
But also intellectually.
Because it seems that we hear at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, there is one of the most developed computers in the world can manage a certain, what do you say, certain Rechenvorgang, a certain, they can manage a certain amount of functions in a second, let's say just for
a second
measure.
Is nothing.
Yes, but even a main, when what they said now, it's a concept, a person with his brain can manage, I think, 1,000 times more than this computer. So you can imagine how quick all the processes have to go.
But you point here to your head.
Yes,
you
everyone ever.
Why do you
yes.
point to
well,
your head?
Well, this is
because
okay,
not the brain.
No, it's mechanical.
The
but
brain.
How many processes have go in 1 second?
Yeah.
With the,
to point out how short every or even short is, what a split second is even too long. How short every jitter is.
That is true. Yeah.
You can't compare.
Because probably there
computer.
Are people who think you can talk and speak and you can talk and hear and see everything at the same moment.
That's why it's called Parita Dharma, is it? The insignificant Dharma. Is that right?
Parita.
Parita.
That
dharma.
Is short. It doesn't
and what's the opposite of that?
No opposite. It's used.
What about Nibbana?
It's not.
No, it would be the opposite.
conditioned dhammas are behind it. Insignificant. Like Kosujin has told us now during this journey all the time, just a short moment, then it passes. So it's paritta. We think it's quite the same, the color or the sound. We enjoy the dancing and music on the boat, it's quite something. But they're only insignificant dhammas. Just that moment. But we don't realize really, we understand in theory. But it helps too.
It's when you know it, everything is just for a moment, it arises and falls away. It helps you not to cling so much to them.
And it can encourage one to develop more understanding.
Yeah. Because you realize already how deluded we are.
Yes.
Like children playing with sand castles, he said in the sutra. And we think it's quite a thing, and the children think it's so important.
Does it arise sometime?
Sati, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sati at the level of not sila, not bhavana. Well, I cannot say so, not yet, but still there are moments when in the middle of work or wherever I have thoughts covered about the teachings. And this I'm quite happy about already, that it's there, but I'm still going on reading and thinking about, considering things.
What part and of the teachings?
At the moment I'm reading Jatakas and Kunina's letters.
You mean while you are working sometimes you think of the teachings?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what parts? Thing about?
Well, about the Jatakas mainly, when they come, so I cannot exactly now say what and what.
Not the whole story?
No, not the whole story, but maybe, what shall I say, I might be in the same situation, like explained in the Jatakas, and then the thoughts come up to maybe condition then kusala, but not akusala.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the jatakas which I like very much is where it's explained that one king had a Pachika Buddha in his garden, and the park keeper was ordered to take care of him. And one night by accident, he shot him because he was looking out for a deer and shot the Pachika Buddha. But before he died, the Pachika Buddha, he asked forgiveness and the Pachika Buddha gave his forgiveness. But this parkkeeper was still very much afraid of the king, and he left the country with his family. And the parkkeeper, he liked to come back to his own country. And he asked someone at court to mention his name once a while and see how the king reacted. So the first and the second time he didn't answer at all. But after some years, this courtier talked again about the parkkeeper. And then the king said he might come back. And he heard the story from his side, and everything was settled. But this man at court asked him, why didn't you say anything in the first time, or why didn't you say anything at the second time? And he said, answered, because it's not good to speak when one is in anger. he was still angry at this time about the barkeeper. Or let's say, if I get angry about or upset about the behavior of some people, then I suddenly realize that my dosa as well, very ugly. Mm. So it's a little things like that.
This is the progress of development of understanding by reading and discussing, and also a moment of awareness, because it can condition other level of sati too. Before reading or understanding about realities, one can realize that we do not have many moments of awareness of unwholesome moment like dosa. But later on, one can see that there are some moments of being aware of reality, even at that level of satipatthana yet. But being aware is a characteristic which can be aware of reality at different stages too. So one can see that we cannot expect to have more satipatthana, but it works on other level as well.
That's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why even the Bodhisattva, the Buddha to be, also develop the parami with sati at different levels too. At moment of dana, there must be sati. At moment of sila, there must be sati. At moment of being patient, there must be sati as well.
And I suppose also that concentration develops with that, because when it's kusala, there's concentration, there's calmness. So all of the factors of the Eightfold Path
mm-hmm.
develop little
yeah.
by little.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's kusala citta, there's calmness accompanying, there's concentration accompanying, so different chedasikas, all building up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The more you accumulate kusala,
yeah.
even if it's at the level of dana, building up that
mm-hmm.
level so that you can know more precisely which is kusala and which is akusala.
Because it's also the moment of kusala, and with understanding of the path to, even not together at the same time, but that person has already the understanding of the path.
Say that again, I didn't quite get that.
Since that person has the understanding of the path,
yes.
So the sati can, and other wholesome jetasikas can develop on its way through dana or sila or other wholesome deeds together with satipatthana alternately.
Yes, and I'm happy about it that I still keep on having her letters or reading or listening to the tapes, and then I don't forget them.
There was a sutta, wasn't there, I quoted once about, he says that for those who do good deeds, they don't feel any remorse, and for those who don't feel any remorse, they're happy, and for those who are happy, they're tranquil, and it goes all the way down.
Right.
To the realization
yeah.
of the
yeah.
Four Noble Truths,
yeah.
just step by step, very natural, because he said that there's no need for the purposeful thought, and I quoted it as an example of no need to have intention to be aware, but it's very natural.
Mm-hmm.
One thing leads to another.
The other step is to have understanding of reality when there is awareness.
Yeah.
yeah.
and that's the most difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because in the beginning, when there's dana and sila, there's no understanding when there is awareness.
Like you say with the mathematics, when you learn mathematics, you have to go on and on and on, and not just keep at the basics. So I like my exercises.
I'd like your remark about the coffee cups and your washing, leaving about the house, and now not. No more, now you're tidying.
Well, I wouldn't say no more.
But less.
But I understand that.
These are also nice.
A lot of simple
aspects.
Actions. Yeah, just. It can be very simple little things. You realize more that it's not kusala
to.
For the other person,
more considerateness.
Yeah.
And I like that example of yours.
And I think that shows up a lot. More and more. I mean, reading the Jatakas can help that. But there's a lot of akusala in the way you behave towards others in daily life.
Yeah. And these small gestures.
The small things.
And we find that we learn so much from you when we are with you on different journeys. Because one has to be mindful of the citta so much, each citta, and then each gesture is conditioned by cittas.
And instead of wanting to develop only sthipatthana, one should develop other kusala to being considerate of things like that.
So I have, I ordered the Jatakas and I have three books now with me. I take the first one because I cannot take so much luggage with me. And then the first one, I think I wrote to you about it. There was this Jataka about a Brahmin who had a very old mother, and he tended to that mother. It was a Bodhisatta, very old mother. And a pupil came to him, and he asked the pupil to court his mother as well, and saying that she is beautiful, and he liked her, and things. And in the end, the mother wanted to persuade the pupil to kill her son. Mm-hmm. So when everyone now is saying to me, "You're beautiful, Isaac," and he had always from all the Arabs here, I can imagine what it can lead to. Yes, it's such a different way. We've been brought up in such a different way. Like when they got a big inheritance, as well in the Jatakas, when Buddha was Bodhisattva, he had this big inheritance, and then he said, "Well, the inheritance is still here, but all the ancestors who built up this inheritance, it's none to be seen." And he said, he didn't want to have it. And then the sister said as well, "I don't want to have it." And they gave everything away. So it's, if you tell someone now there's a family and they leave a big inheritance, and the biggest brother would say, "I don't want it." Everyone else wanted it. I think it's no one who would say, "No, I don't want it either." Because they see how. They only see what it can bring at the time being, or no, for this moment. It doesn't last, and it brings quite some sorrow.
So it's very important to see the value of being able to give things away.
Yeah. And there's one, if you have the urge to do it, no? Because one is so stingy, normally.
But
I like your cake example.
Think about things only, because one has to give away all one's unwholesomeness.
Yeah.
All one's kilesa, ankusala.
It's a difficult one, see it as giving away.
Yes, at this moment we are giving away our loba, dosa,
oh, yeah.
And moha.
when you give some things, yeah. you also give away your lover.
When we are talking about Dharma and developing understanding, it's moment of giving away lobha attachment to fruits or salads,
cake. your example is good.
Okay. What's your favorite Jataka? You have a favorite one?
I'm not sure yet. But these two, but you know, not speaking in anger and that the mother wanted to kill her
son. But when you write to me,
even 120 years old, ugly and everything. And it's now as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because I can remember as well you're saying, what is nice in a face, all these holes.
Yeah, the eyes.
Yeah, the eyes,
fish,
the nose.
Shields and things like that.
Ears, everywhere, holes, old.
Where does it say that? Where,
yeah, in England.
Kunzi says that, yes, I remember that.
Old tape in England.
Yes, I remember that.
Fish
that on the tape.
Scales and
the holes in the eyes.
Or something.
Shows us that one should hear a lot more and more until it can be conditions for developing further kusala. Keep on going
this kusala.
Developing right understanding.
Develop right understanding. But I not all kusala, dana, sila, bhavana included also in Paramis, but it gives extra, like patience and adhidhana solution.
Which is why it's the noble path, noble truths, isn't it? It's not common. It's not. What do you see as the meaning of noble?
High. Yeah. Developed. Noble is noble.
Quite a lot of talks on Vipassana.
It's almost like the tape on the bus today.
About concepts about Mother Dhamma.
Want to listen and then no more interest to study, just want to see, just want to hear sound, and that is not my purpose.
But would they not be able to have an idea of what to pursue? Because if they don't hear anything at all...
I don't think so, because on TV or radio it's not enough.
See,
no.
You were wondering about it, about the newspaper.
Yeah, I was wondering whether it was useful or not useful.
In England.
But people, do you think that people, if people were interested or had the accumulation and they see an article, it might be the starting point for them to find out more? Or do you think that's not enough?
For those who are very skillful, it's all right.
Yes.
But in Thai, I give lecture.
Yes.
And I continue on for years.
Yes.
And it's so helpful. So if anyone would like to listen, they can turn on radio anytime.
Yes. Yeah.
And each evening and each morning, that
no
is a nice
special
thing.
Program for interviews. Yeah.
No, I can understand
much
that.
Better,
yeah.
Yeah, but that's in Thailand. In
that's
England,
in Thailand. In England, there's no lecture.
Yeah.
There's no way
but
for.
You can do that.
I can give a lecture.
Yeah.
Yes. But I was wondering about the. I cannot give a lecture on the radio, for instance.
Mm-hmm. But you can be interviewed.
Yes, I can be interviewed. Uh-huh. And I'm just wondering how that could be useful, if it would be useful.
Since you are not now giving lecture, this is useful.
Yeah, so to make it public first.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And later on,
then
you can continue weekly or...
Yes, yes.
Good start.
Very good start, yeah. It seems that England, there's a lot of... It's mentioned on the radio now, the word Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
and it's in the papers, and people want to find out more, but there's no real place for them to find out more. But I'm right bang in the middle of the press, and so that as soon as they find out, because they're ringing up the Buddhist Society asking them questions, but as soon as they find out that I'm a Buddhist, they'll start to ask me questions, I think.
You should continue.
Yes. Yeah. Just continue.
Helping the others to understand more through different ways.
Different ways. But it's very difficult, at the Thai Monastery or the other centres, because they have so little opportunity for discussion. They listen to a lecture, the lecture finishes, they go. But there's no real opportunity for them to discuss.
But there are other places in England, many viharas. How are the others?
The same.
The same, exactly the same. So, you asked to the new one.
The new one?
The new group, starting from the press and radio.
I think that's the best. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I mean, the Thai Wimbledon monastery is quite good. The people there are quite interested. They're interested, and they will ask questions. And perhaps that's a starting point.
And I think that instead of giving lecture like them, just one word, but it's so clear to understand reality, will lead to other words in Buddhism too, like Dhamma. Everyone talk about Dhamma. What do they understand about this word? There are many meanings too, not just one meaning. Like Dhamma is the teaching of Buddha. Dhamma is, some people think that it's only wholesome realities. So it depends on the text. But in the absolute reality, Dhamma is anything which is real. It doesn't need any word to name it, to label it. But since without word, one cannot understand what one means, that's why we need to tell or to say that this characteristic is citta and that characteristic is different cetasikas. But the characteristic of absolute realities are realities that have their own characteristics, their own functions, and you cannot change. Nobody can control or order or direct or change their characteristics at all. So try to help people to understand just one word clearly in Buddhism, like Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Sangha for the Triple James is not just any monk who wear yellow robe, but it means the Aryan saint, those who have enlightened. We can go on from the very bottom line. Because people think that they understand the teachings, but in fact they do not understand anything.
That's true.
Nothing is clear at all. They just read and they guess that they understand. But without the very good foundation on studying, it's impossible to understand the Buddha's teaching. That's why people go wrong. Like when they read about samadhi, they think that they should concentrate and then panya will arise, something like that. Most people ask that it's said that panya is the samadhi is the proximate cause of panya. in many places, in many contexts. But if you are questioned, what type of samadhi is the proximate cause of panya, they cannot say anything. Because they don't know, they just read that samadhi is the proximate cause of panya. But we can say that there are eightfold paths, and one factor is samadhi. The other factor is panya, right understanding. So what kind of samadhi is the proximate cause of panya must be the right concentration of the eightfold path only. The other type of samadhi cannot be the proximate cause of panya.
But in the Visuddhimagga, that's why people think that it's explained that people should concentrate or develop samatha because that is the proximate cause.
They read and they think that it means so, but actually there are eightfold paths and there are many types of samadhi, the mitra samadhi and the samma samadhi, samadhi of the samatha, tranquil meditation, and samadhi of the eightfold path.
They will also say though that the wholesome concentration of samadhi is the condition for the eightfold path.
Yes, as the one factor of the eightfold path. Just that.
Yeah.
Because samadhi arises with each citta, and
yes,
when citta is kusala at level of dana,
yes,
there is also samadhi.
Right.
So can that level of dana be the proximate cause for panya? Because dana can be done without right understanding.
Yes.
And many people give away things. Can that be the proximate cause of panya?
People get astray when they read in the Visuddhimagga about sila first and then samadhi and then panya. That confuses them. And I explained the Venerable Bodhi, when there is a factor of the Eightfold Path, the object must be a dhamma or nibbana when it is lukuta. But they all come to Visuddhimagga, which describes, and as Visuddhimagga explains, here is samatha, and it is good because samadhi is the proximate cause of panya.
Because they don't understand the purpose of Buddha Gosa, that when he talk about the purification, it must be wholesome all the way.
All the way, yeah.
And so he collected all type of sila from Tipitaka to show that how many type of silas are there. And when he talk about samadhi, he also collected all types of samadhi. And when he talk about panya, all types of object of understanding, like khanda and tattu and things like that.
Yeah, he collected
all types.
With sila, even the highest,
or compiled,
even the highest lokutara.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But people think that Buddha Gosa wanted them to start from sila and then develop samadhi and panya.
Yeah, that's what they always come to.
They don't understand that he just collected. Because
that's a good point to explain them, that he collected.
Yes, that's a good point.
That's why there are so many types of sila, by one, by two, by three, and so on.
Because even people attain jhana, they still didn't attain enlightenment, did they? So even they have concentration to that high degree, it's not the condition for insight. Unless there are other conditions as well. It has to be a factor of the Eightfold Path.
And what about the Eightfold Path is only one path, see? Leading to Nibbana. In Mahasatipatthana Sutta.
Yes.
If people think that all types of samadhi can be the proximate cause of panya,
there will be other ways.
people would like to follow the easy way. They don't know that it's so difficult to attain enlightenment, not only in one life. And if you ask them whether they'd like to understand this moment or begin to understand what is what, the nama and the rupa, they are different, or would they like to sit, they would say that I would like to sit. They don't mind about panya, a right understanding of this moment, they just want to sit in order to have panya. But if you ask again what panya knows, they cannot tell. So this must be different from the other groups at Wimbledon or Chithurst. It's like I myself, I do not belong to any meditation center because I give lecture on Tipitaka.
You belong, but how did you start that?
Just like this.
Okay. Yeah.
Giving lecture straight away.
Yes. And then you were invited to give a lecture at the monastery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because after I studied for a few years, 2 or 3 years, my teacher asked me to give lecture. So I gave lecture. So people knew from that time.
Oh, I see.
About,
yeah.
I could help my teacher.
Yeah.
It was in Watzakate.
Pardon?
Before that, at Buddhist Association and also in the women's jails, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But when you have intention to help, any time, any place, any opportunity, it will bring more opportunity to help.
In Holland, it's not so good. They're like Tibetan, and they're not really addressed to study at all.
It can be a small group in the beginning, and then will grow. Because I myself do not mind about quantity. I don't mind at all about 5 or 4 or 10 or 100 or 50 or 60. Because my intention is to help those who come and listen to understand the teachings.
I've been speaking a few times in Holland and in Austria once, but then afterwards people didn't contact me anymore.
Because we know that it's very difficult. The teaching needs time and interest, a lot of sadhana, confidence to continue, because it's so very difficult, much more difficult than other subjects in the world, because it's here and people do not like to understand oneself.
Yeah.
They can talk about the others,
yeah,
through the others' manners and speech. What about their own?
Won't it be a long time before this, I mean, we'll be in the womb for a long time? You say that the seeing follows...
It depends on what plane of existence.
I see, it could be immediate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we would remember, would we?
And 7 months is not as long as 1 year or 2 years or 1 aeon.
No.
Seeing follows.
We just have to study the difference between thinking about what we see or people moving or the seeing of just physical object. And seeing and paying attention to shape and form, we know it all in theory.
I think that we always think of people and things and somebody's moving, and that is very common. But when there is the development of understanding, it's the moment of understanding this moment as what appears is only visual object. Eliminating the idea of someone holding a phone or looking at one another.
Eliminating
colors.
Eliminating the idea of Lodewijk.
Like paintings. Looking at paintings.
Looking at paintings.
Exactly the same. But this is moving.
Moving picture.
But there isn't the idea of different colors, though, when there is awareness of visible object.
I don't think that we think much about color, but we get the idea of something instantly.
From instantly.
We don't pinpoint that 7-Up is green and Fanta
no,
is yellow.
But it's read out from the visible object.
Yeah, thinking immediately after seeing.
Yeah.
That's why when we dream, we think of the story more than the details. Like I goes here and I see the market and things like that in the dream. It's thinking all the time. As soon as one wakes up, one knows that it's thinking. Thinking of Bandhati. Not thinking of color.
Yes.
Except sometimes you remember that, oh, I saw someone wearing a brown shirt or something like that. Then that is attention or moment of thinking of color as well. Otherwise, it's only thinking of concept.
Yes. Yes.
But one doesn't realize it when one is in this life, that it is eons. So then one is not tired.
But not with aversion. When you say tired, not with aversion.
It depends on whether it's wearied or tired, or that's enough. With right understanding, it should be enough.
And that has to be reached before enlightenment too, that
we
stage.
We cannot tell, this is thinking, see? But the moment of understanding reality, the true nature of nama or the true nature of rupa, right understanding, it's just like this moment. Instead of thinking of concept, it can be the direct experience. So natural. No rule whether how long it has to be quite a long time before the moment of awareness.
It's difficult to understand why should we know seeing or hearing? Why is it so of the hardness or softness? Why should we know all that? Is it necessary?
It's only by understanding all these different realities that there can be detachment from the idea of self, which is the root of all defilements. So by understanding that there is no one who sees, no one who hears, there are just different conditioned realities, this will lead to detachment from the idea of self. And that is the beginning of the eradication of defilements. Because when there is the idea of self there, that will condition many defilements.